Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast and Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, Dr. Les Olal. And Doc, we're in the studio today with our Bibles and a cup of coffee, and we're right in the middle of a great discussion on how to begin and have a great year in 2008. And we've had a great discussion over the last number of broadcasts, and those of you listening can pick the broadcasts up at www.thewordforlife.org. But, Doc, maybe you can kind of catch us up as to what we've been talking about.
Well, the first thing we talked about for success is to have a bad memory.
Yeah.
And we took that from Philippians 3. Paul says, forgetting that which is behind. Then a good vision, pressing forth unto that which is before.
Exactly.
I press to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So two things we're focusing on in this challenge. Number one, we need to forget. And that involves conviction to confession to cleansing.
And that takes care of the past.
The past is then settled. And then the focus, what am I going to do in the future? How am I going to be stretching forth to that finish line with every fiber of my being?
And the word you used to help us capture that was the word vision. We have to have the right vision.
Yeah, where am I going? That has to be set. And we said that comes from the word.
Right.
We have to have the Word as a part. And what do we want for this year? Do we want to read the Bible through? Do we want to see someone saved this year? Do we want to see someone saved and discipled to become a productive person?
In fact, you suggested sitting down and writing all those goals out.
Writing everything out so I know where I am going.
Now, you gave us four components of vision. I think you said they were desire and discipline and dependence leading to direction.
Yes. And we talked about having the impact of negative feedback.
The torpedo that says
the mind is also a goal-striving mechanism and also will operate on negative feedback. So God never put quit into us. But we, in our discouragement,
quit.
And sometimes we quit in our mind long before we quit from our role.
Now, that's true.
We, in our mind, have already made the step of...
I quit as a husband. I quit as a wife. I quit as a dad. I quit as a Sunday school teacher.
I quit trying. I perceive myself as a failure. This is not going to work. This is not going to happen that way.
Now, what are some negative feedbacks that God sends our way?
Well, I think it can be things that would be discouragements from an expectation that we have. A proverb says, a hope deferred makes the heart sick. Maybe there was a relationship that I had, and we were going on, and then suddenly that relationship breaks. I remember one of our seniors stopped me in the bookstore one day just before commencement, and I said, "Hi, how are you doing?" And a guy was a godly guy, and he says, "I don't want to serve God who treats me like this." And I thought, wow. I mean, this guy I had seen for 4 years
wow.
as a student. I instantly assumed a relationship had broken. And I said, what happened? I said, have you talked to your dad? No. I said, could I be your dad till you march? And then I said, did a relationship break in your life? He said, yes, the girl that I had planned to marry just talked to me and said, I just want to be friends. I don't feel this is what God's will is for my life. And he was so down. He was ready to chuck everything.
And sometimes
it's health that gets us defeated. Sometimes it is broken relationship and friendship. Sometimes it is, I have a goal, I have my church underway, and all of a sudden the wheels seem to fall off because somebody gets the yips, as we used to call it. somebody has the yips, and therefore people are discouraged and beginning to feel defeated within their being. So there are a lot of things that are a negative feedback.
I've heard you say things like dollars determine direction. Dollars or the withholding of dollars are God's way of setting a man's direction.
Yeah, I believe that's true. And when God does choose to withhold dollars, and I used to tell our staff that when God chooses to withhold dollars from us, it is to either change us or change something in our direction. And if we short-circuit that, we are going to miss the mind of God.
Yeah.
We're going to miss giving God an opportunity to show what he wants to show to us and to maybe something in our direction. And, boy, when you have a plan and you have a goal and then you set your goals and all of a sudden the money isn't there. And I know as many buildings as we have built here.
Oh, yeah.
I have some buildings sitting there I wanted to see there a lot sooner than they were. But then you wait, either wait on God's timing and on his provision, or short circuit and say, God, you don't know how to run ministry. Let us show you how. And we head straight to get ourselves in debt.
Yeah.
And that can be a great point of
discouragement. So negative feedback is a very valuable asset to the Christian life, is what I'm hearing you say.
Well, it makes us dependent. The greatest asset of it is it makes us dependent where God wants us. We are born independent. We come out kicking and screaming, wanting our own way.
Yeah.
We become deceitful just because we want to be held as babies.
Yeah, boy, isn't that the truth.
And then we go on, but we have been independent. And the hardest thing for some people to do is shift when they come to Christ is to shift from an independent person, a self-sufficient person, to one who is dependent on him.
Wow.
And sometimes we don't know until a physical circumstance hits.
So we have vision, and what are the other two things in focus that we need to bring forth?
Well, second thing I call virtue. That is, now that I have set my concentration, where my concentration is, now I have to determine my choices.
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to say no? How am I going to say yes? How am I going to make the determinations? Biggest sign of maturity to me is how I direct my time when there are multiple options of fun, versus that which is a responsibility.
And boy, that's difficult.
I counsel our students, and I say, you know, the fact that you're struggling is not a sin, but you are learning what it is to become an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Because when fun is going on in the rec hall, and you have work responsibility in the library, the mature person makes the choice to get the work done first. One thing my dad taught us, work always comes before fun, and fun is funner when you do the work first.
You actually have a box in your basement that basically teaches that lesson.
Yes, I have it. I rescued it, thankfully, from the house before it was bulldozed. And, in fact, my nephew got it out of there because he knew the story behind that blueberry box. And we had a big blueberry box that Dad built back in the 20s. And had cloth straps on it, leather tacked on to hold it in, a lid on it. And it was big. And when we went on picnics during blueberry time on Lake Superior, that box had to be filled with blueberries before we could light the fire or before we could swim. And boy, I'll tell you what, we were going through those hills and Dad had a little song he would sing while we were picking and keep us encouraged and to keep us going. But that was a life lesson.
Yeah.
Work comes before fun. And so I have to make the tough choices. We talked in previous broadcasts about Hebrews chapter 12, the conditioned athlete and going on to the vision that is there. And that is sometimes a very hard thing to do, of making the tough choices.
You know, we were talking before the broadcast, and I think one of the things I've learned as I've been listening to you talk about this in various broadcasts is that virtue is a choice. I've always seen it as a noun, but it's a verb that becomes a noun.
Yes. When you look in 2 Peter chapter 1, adding to your faith virtue, and I have chosen to define virtue for my own thinking. Virtue is a holy moral character. That's a noun.
Mm-hmm.
Because I make right moral choices, that's the verb. It is a quality that is attained by
choices.
A choice.
I know that in my head. But it's somehow I've always seen virtue as, you know, just like you're saying, it's a quality, it's something that I should be. And really, as you've explained it and as we've looked at different passages over the broadcast, it comes about as I make choice by choice by choice.
Right. I'm saved. Now the Spirit of God is in me. The Spirit of God convicts, I choose to say yes or no. Self-control is obeying the initial promptings of God's Spirit.
Mm.
So do I choose to say yes to the Spirit or do I choose to ignore the Spirit's conviction?
Mm.
So then I make a choice based on my response. And so I end up in a direction based on that choice, based on that initial response to the conviction of God's Spirit.
I love how you said it. You can make the choice, but you can't choose the consequences of the choice.
Yeah, I am free to choose, but I am not free to determine the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
of that choice. Mm-hmm. So the vision is there, the virtue is there. And then the last one I have is vow. The vision is my concentration. The virtue is my choice. The vow is my commitment.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do? Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind, pressing forth unto that which is before. Most of us say these seven things I dabble at.
Yeah.
As we look into this new year, let's make this one thing I do. Make that a vow when we need a single focus. And number one, that has to be focused in Christ. We must love Him supremely. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we need to have a commitment. William Osler, a quote that I wrote down some time ago, said, the load of tomorrow added to that of yesterday and carried today makes the very strongest falter.
Mm.
And as we look forward to this year, we can't take tomorrow's load added to yesterday's, carrying it today without a faltering taking place. And we need to have a right forgetting.
Yeah, I was going to say,
get
that's
that
where
load,
forgetting the past
get
comes.
That load off the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put tomorrow's load
on it today.
On it today. And keep the load that I have balanced so it doesn't throw me as I am walking through the responsibilities of this day.
Mm-hmm.
Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't say what is going to happen tomorrow.
Doc, as we wrap up this broadcast and with this broadcast, the series, what are some commitments that if you were sitting down talking to one of our listeners face to face and they were to say to you, you know, I buy everything you're saying. I really think this is what needs to happen in my life. I'm going to forget the past. I'm going to have a bad memory, like you've been saying. And I'm working on the vision for today, and I have the desire for it, and I'm gonna discipline myself, and I'm going to depend on the Lord so that my direction will end up being where it needs to go. And I'm committed to this. What are some basic commitments that you would say, well, if you're going to really go forward, here's some basic commitments you need to start with?
Number one, I would say saturate yourself in the Word. Number two, separate yourself from that which would hinder your forward progress spiritually. Mm-hmm. And then I begin to serve God with all of my heart.
Well, Doc, thank you for taking the time to help us prepare for the coming year. For those of you listening, if you want today's broadcast as well as the other broadcasts in the series Developing a Marathon Mindset, let me encourage you to go to our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.